back then. Okay. Thanks for being such a happy group on such a happy day. We're doing our satellite survey of the scriptures, and we came to the book called Psalms. How would you do that in a half an hour? It's the biggest challenge of all 66 books, but fortunately, we have a great God, and we have a very flexible music team, and Danita Hunter, leading today, did an excellent job of working with this. So here's what you need. You need to take this note flyer out of your bulletin and keep it handy all through the service. And you need to make sure you have a songbook available in front of you, because we're singing out of the hymnals today, not off of the screen. And if you did not bring your own Bible, or if you don't have it on your phone, there's Bibles ahead of you in those song racks if you'd like to follow along in the Psalms that we'll be reading. And this tells you, for example, Psalm 46, the song will be A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and that's on page 118, and I'll help you with that as we go through. Let's pray. Father, it's a beautiful day. Thank you for making it, and thanks for letting us be a part of it. And we have an amazing God and a wonderful Savior. And we have the Bible, your message to us, your letter to us. And in the middle of that book that has been put together, and we believe inspired by you, breathed through humans by you, Creator God, in the middle of that book is a songbook. I think that's so amazing that it's put together that way. As we worship you, as we celebrate through listening to your word, singing songs, reflecting on your greatness, and responding appropriately, we also pause to pray for people who are hurting. We think of the folks in Ecuador, as near as I can tell. I don't think any of our missionaries are affected, but many people there are. I pray for a young lady at Corbett High School that got hurt playing softball and is facing some surgery. Her name is Hannah. May she know your peace today. I pray for that list of folks on the prayer page in our bulletin. And may your blessing and your guidance, your courage, be with each one. And should you be pleased to allow us to live throughout this day and return this evening at 6 o'clock for a wonderful musical celebration with the Salem Singers, I thank you in advance for the privilege of being a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a psalm, Psalm 46, that is all about the greatness of God. It was written to what? Extol him and to remind us of who he is. Psalm 46. This is from the NIV. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Mountains are quaking in Ecuador, and God's very aware of that. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And verse 6 sounds like where we're living today. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. God lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then this directive that brings calmness to us. Be still. Be quiet. Today we would say, hush. And know that God is God. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In our songbook, number 118, written by Martin Luther, who really did understand the amazing fortress that God is, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Let's stand and sing it. Please be seated. Psalm 90, this is from the New Living Translation. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. Isn't it interesting that hundreds of years later, Peter in his epistle talked about that same statement. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, and we could say today some to 90 and 100 and more. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Based on this psalm, Psalm 90, Isaac Watts wrote a song. It's in your book at 370. And he wrote, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." Let's sing it together. Psalm 87, verse 1, "He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God." In our book number 376, "Glorious things of you are spoken, Zion, city of our God." Book of Psalms is made up of 150 chapters, and each chapter usually has some element of praise, although many of them are filled with admonitions. It's very interesting, I think, that when the Bible was put together, you have all of that history and laws, and then you have prophecy, and eventually the New Testament, and right in the middle of your Bible, this book that I think could be called Creator God's Songbook, a book of praise that focuses our attention to Him. You might want to jot down a few things about the book of Psalms. I put a few of them in your notes, and so you don't have to jot these down. Many scholars divide it into five individual books to kind of break it up. And Henrietta Mears, a great Bible scholar and teacher that gave us overview material of the Old and New Testament, she gave us this outline that many people follow, chapters 1 to 41, pretty much about man, his state of blessedness, his fall and recovery. 42 to 72, mostly about Israel from oppression to the reigning king. 73 to 89, life in the sanctuary, all about worship. And by the way, they very appropriately called the house of worship sanctuary back then because that's where God dwelt. I often smile and say that I don't refer to this building as a sanctuary because God doesn't live here. He lives inside of you. And we're his sanctuary. So I like to call this building the chapel. And when we come together, we are the sanctuary of God as believers. But in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, the cloud by day and the fire by night, that's where God dwelt. And so when they talked about life in the sanctuary being a place of worship, it was very much in line with how they viewed the presence of God. You're a lot closer to God today in feeling than those people were back in those days, because as a child of God, he lives within you, joined with your spirit. Chapters 90 through 106, more about the wanderings and protections, earth life, and 107 through 150, certainly a major focus on the Word of God, and you see that all the way through Psalm 119. If you want to jot down a few things, if you want to know the shortest psalm, it's 117, and it's also the middle chapter of the Bible. The way our Bible was put together is an interesting journey, but I think that's a fun statistic. The longest psalm is 119, and it has 24 paragraphs. And if you look in your Bible, each of those paragraphs will have a little word ahead of it, like Alf, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. That's as far as I've got them memorized. And that's the Hebrew alphabet. And there's 24 characters in the Hebrew alphabet, and one of them titles each of those 24 paragraphs that make up Psalm 119. If you'd like to know who wrote the majority of the Psalms, David wrote 73 of them. That's almost half of them. He's the primary writer. Solomon wrote two. We'll get a lot more of Solomon in the next few weeks because he wrote the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. But in the book of Psalms, Solomon wrote 72 and 122. There's a group of people that were music leaders. They were kind of like the worship team like we have here. And except we have men and women, they were called the sons of Korah. And they wrote 12 of the Psalms, 42 through 49 and 84 through 87, the sons of Korah. There's a guy named Asaph, A-S-A-P-H. He wrote 12 Psalms, number 50 and number 73 through 83. So he has quite a number. There's a guy that we know almost nothing about. His name is He-Man. That's not E-Man, that's He-Man. And he wrote one psalm, number 88. I think it's so interesting. And a man named Ethan, a fairly common name today, also wrote one psalm, and that's number 89. And then Moses is credited with one psalm, that's number 90. In Moses' writings, in the early books of the Bible, he did some other songs that were written, but the one that's included in this book is number 90. We could have a definition of the psalm. It's a sacred hymn or a song. It's a poem with a focus on praise, and that's what most of them are about. And every now and then, at the end of a paragraph in the Psalms, you'll see that little word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, and people wonder what that is. And what it. We don't know a lot about that word, but we know that it does mean to pause, to kind of take a break. I think in our language today, we would say it means to stop and think about it, stop and ponder. A whole lot of years ago, I heard a musician say that he knew of a dad that was trying to explain Selah to his kids, and they weren't catching on too well. And so finally he said, I think it's like this. He said, you know, when you're reading something, and it's just really amazing, and you just stop and you say, now think about that. Just think about that for a little bit. And that's really what a Selah is. You stop and you think about it. So when you see a Selah, stop and think about it. That's why it's there. They're often used in worship, lots of teaching and lots of admonition. I thought I might walk you through a few psalms. And Again, you might want to jot these down. I'd rather have you make your own list, but what I've done in my Bible, I can't memorize 150 Psalms and put a title on all of them and remember them, but I have about a dozen that to me are special Psalms for special times. And I encourage you to do that as you read through the Psalms, and let me give you a few examples. I'll give you about a dozen of them. For example, if you really want to know how to live, read the first psalm. How blessed or how happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not stand in the path of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. That's what not to do if you want to have a blessed life. Well, what does he do? What's the positive side? His delight is in the law of God. That's an amazing concept, to delight in law. Sometimes we are not so delighted when law gets pushed onto us. If you get that little beautiful light in your rearview mirror and you realize you've done something wrong and you've broken the law, you might have to think twice about delighting in the law. But when you think about what's going on, it's for our benefit that that has taken place. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then it goes on to liken him to a stream. If you want to know how to live, read Psalm 1 and meditate on it for a while. And then if you need a reminder of God's glory, I suggest Psalm 8. It goes like this. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens? From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established strength, because of thine adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost even notice him? God's glory. If you're struggling a little bit with thinking, how great is God? Psalm 8 is a wonderful one to ponder. And then most of us from time to time will need encouragement. And Psalm 18 is all about encouragement and focus. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And the psalm goes on for many, many verses in that theme. Psalm 18 is all about meeting our need when we need encouragement and our focus. And then, of course, a favorite, and probably many of us have it memorized, and we're going to read it a little bit later this morning. If we feel the need for comfort and just some tender care from God, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have everything that I need. If we're struggling a bit with trust, we're making decisions, we're going through some hard times, and we're really having some difficulty in the department of trust, then I suggest Psalm 37, a psalm of trust. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Boy, is that relevant? There's evildoers all around that just frustrate us. And the psalm writer says, don't fret about them. Don't get uptight about them. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. They're going to pass away. They're temporary. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And it just goes on and on about the relationship of leaving it all to God and letting him be our confidence as we trust in him. That's Psalm 37. One of my favorite psalms, and I've talked about it on occasion in preaching and in teaching, is Psalm 73. And I call this one, it's the beginning of the section, book 3, and I call this one a lesson in perspective. Most of us lose perspective from time to time. I'm sorry, I'm just about to walk on you back here, aren't I? You okay? Oh, good. Thanks. A lesson in perspective. And what you have to remember in Psalm 73, he starts out positive, and he ends up positive, but in between, he lets you inside on his thoughts. Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And we could apply that to ourselves. And then the story changes. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling, my steps had almost slipped, for I was envious. And he admits that he was looking around at people around him who seemed to be getting a better deal than he was, or getting away with evil and not being called into account for it. And it really does him in. If you want to get depressed, if you want to really lose your confidence and have a lousy day, take your eyes off of God and look around at people and start evaluating, and that'll probably happen to you. So all the way up through about verse 14, he's talking about that honest experience that he went through. And I think he wrote that part after he finished the psalm, because in verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generations of thy children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. So he admits how low he really is. Verse 17, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. He said, I was really on a downward spiral until I came into the presence of God and got my perspective back. And then the rest of the psalm is all about how great God is. And verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. And it's a very amazing crescendo of praise to God. I think Psalm 73 is some of the best medicine for perspective of anything in the scriptures. And I recommend that we study it often. Just a few more. If you're wondering if God is faithful, you might want to mark Psalm number 89. And it starts out like this, Psalm 89. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever to all generations. I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. End of verse 3, thy faithfulness. Verse 5, thy faithfulness. Verse 8, thy faithfulness. Wondering if God is faithful, spend some time in Psalm 89. You'll be glad that you did. If you're feeling insecure, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I had a phone call this week. I get him quite often. And somebody said, I have a friend that's going in for surgery. They're a believer in Jesus, but they're just feeling kind of insecure, having some doubts. What can I tell them to read in Scripture? And I said, well, you can never go wrong with Psalm 23, but I would suggest also Psalm 91. When you meditate on Psalm 91, your insecurities get put into perspective, and you're back on top again. There's a psalm known as the Traveling Psalm. It's Psalm 121. I smile when I say that because as a young man watching older siblings leave home, and then when I left, my dad, as we were getting ready to get in the car or go somewhere to go on our journey off to college or whatever, he would always read Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence does my help come? Not from the mountains. It comes from the one who made the mountains, often called the Traveler's Psalm, Psalm 121. Now, if you really like repetition, you will like Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And that pattern continues for 26 verses. It would be a good responsive reading. One person reads the first line, the congregation or the group or the family reads the second. It's a lesson in coming back to the same thought and connecting it with a form of repetition. 136 is that psalm. You ever question your value? Then I would suggest you spend a lot of time in Psalm 139. You cannot study Psalm 139 and think less of yourself. You'll always think more of yourself because of the fact that God made you and puts a tremendous value on your life. And you could use psalms in music, as we're doing today, over and over again. But one that is really all about music would be the final psalm, 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instrument and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. All the instruments that make up music, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope that might be helpful to you in your own study of Psalms, because I think it's good to have a few of them that we turn to often. There's a Psalm 103. This is from the New International Version. Reads like this. Fairly lengthy, but very significant to what we're doing today as we're praising through music. And those of you in the Wednesday class that have been studying Psalms all fall and winter, you will recognize this one from last Wednesday, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalm writer lists those benefits, some of them. He forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, and satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We're all kind of anxious for that, aren't we? For our youth to be renewed. And we long for the day when we'll be completely renewed. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank God for that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, all his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There's a song in your hymn book, number 379. And it's based on this Psalm 103, and it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We probably need to stand and sing this one. Seated. There's probably no more familiar psalm in all the book of Psalms than Psalm 23. And I had to go back to the King James for this one because there's no Bible that says it better. Actually, it's the New King James. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Basically, that line says I have everything I need. Maybe not everything I want. So the I shall not want doesn't say that I'm getting everything I want, but the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm means everything to us when we connect with David, the shepherd of little sheep, and thought of himself as a sheep taken care of by Creator God. We're going to be given a special number by Amber Millmore. The words start out, "All I want to do is give my life to you and let your will be done," until that's all I want to do. And after she finishes, you'll want to have number 596 ready to sing a great Gaither song, "Gentle Shepherd." In Psalm 45, verses 1 and 2, you'll want to pay special attention to verse 2 that leads us into our next song. Psalm 45, 1, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. There's a song that captures this idea right out of Psalm 45, verse 2. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Number 240.
Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O Lord of the sun, thee will I cherish.
Sometimes when you're reading the Psalms or other parts of Scripture, or just having an amazing experience, you just want to sing hallelujah. It's a good thing to do early in the morning when you see a sunrise, or in the evening when you see a sunset, or when you get some good news, or maybe some bad news, but you know that God is in control. In Psalm 72 at verse 18, the writer says, "Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such wonderful things. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." There's a day coming when all the world will be filled with his glory. But until that comes, we can keep right on singing. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord. It's number 331. You feel like saying hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He is risen.
He is risen.
You know, often when we're studying Scripture, we see as something that we need to do, something we need to change. But there's times when study of Scripture, and it's so true in the Psalms, simply should bring a response. It should just make us feel so humble and so grateful for who God is, and that he loves us, and the fact that he gave Jesus to be our Savior, and that we can have assurance of a place in heaven forever. As Romans says, that we can believe in our heart that Jesus is truly God, and we can say it with our mouth, he's my Savior. And I think the Psalm 115, as it opens, And it was the basis of a song written by Andre Crouch, number 365 in your book. Andre Crouch wrote some amazing songs. He went home to heaven last summer, and seemed like that was way too soon. He was not that old a man. He wrote songs like Through It All that bless some of us continually. And he writes a response as he thought about Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Mike Garcia is going to sing the opening part for us, and then we'll all join in on the later part of the song. I don't know whether he realized it or not, but there was a pretty famous musician who always ended his program with, keep a song in your heart. So as you leave today, that's a very biblical thing to do. If we can encourage you or help you, that's why we're here. I hope you've appreciated a little different way to study the book of Psalms. Go with God, and if you can possibly make it, come back for some more good music tonight with the Salem Singers. God bless you, and thanks, team. You did an excellent job.
Thank you. Can you put it right up on the ledge here?
Okay, I have no idea. Thank you.